Hello and welcome to the We Are the Girls in Claritin Blue FAWSL Weekly, the show that is replacing the FAWSL podcast for hopefully until the 30th of April due to the extension today due to the unfortunate coronavirus outbreak. Today I'm joined not by my FAWSL partner in crime anymore, but the FAWSL Weekly partner in crime, Ali. I would say welcome to the show, but you're on it every week.
I was going to say, hey, it's been a long time, my friend, a long time.
So we're going to discuss the implications of the FAWSL postponements due to this coronavirus outbreak on things like players, their contracts at the end of the season, and just how the coronavirus will affect the game itself. Plus, we have an interesting topic me and Ali sort of, but we did come up with how will the new TV license revenue boost the women's game? This comes from an announcement, I think it was from the Supporters Association or something, that they're going to sell the FAWSL rights. I'm not too sure which one it was, though. I'll check that later. So, Ali, first of all, how are you feeling with all this outbreak and how has it affected you so far?
Well, for people that don't know, I work in the travel industry. So coronavirus is affecting me quite badly in the fact that it's making my life a little bit of a misery, trying to reschedule people's flights, cancelling flights. It's not been fun. Also, it's making me miss my football. Like, this was always the highlight of my weekend, but now nothing.
With all like the WSL postponements and the... it's now to the 30th of April. Can you see any way, Ali, that it will be played behind closed doors?
You know, we were talking about this a week or so ago. I think the only way they could get away with it being played behind closed doors is if they had full streaming on, whether it be on YouTube, FA Player, whatever, they had the game streaming and they gave fans free access. That is the only way I think they could get away with playing it behind closed doors. Otherwise, it's going to be either a summer season or we scrap it and start again in September.
See, one thing that crossed my mind, Ali, was with this virus, what teams will have to do basically is reduce the number as much as they can to be played just for safety reasons. However, I think one thing that could potentially happen towards, well, I think after the 12 weeks, because I think that's where we're heading to if they decide to push back next season and continue with this one, which I think they're going to do, is maybe for the first few weeks just let season ticket holders in, because then you're reducing the number and you're still issuing fans being there and you're not technically opening it up to the public because you're only having Pacific members, basically. Do you think that could be an option?
That could definitely work. But then again, it's like, how do you police the away numbers? Do you then say it's only open to away season ticket holders? Or would it just be for home fans? Because then the other team could argue that they're getting an advantage.
See, the issue with that would be is I would agree with the away season ticket holders. But if you're like us and you have paper tickets for 12 games, it's going to become really hard. So I think if there's maybe a bit of contact between the club and, for example, if we was at home to Manchester City, and if they had the proper season cards that's usually used on the electronic gates, if they had them, it's easy to police. Simply, if one of your away supporters shows the season ticket, they can come in, because then you are reducing the number. And I think that's important while we're in this turmoil, really, that we don't rush at things, as with the FA as well. They can't rush at things like letting supporters in straight away. I think there has to be a steady process into this just to ensure the safety of everybody.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, I think it's going to be one of these things, as sad as it is, you're going to have to limit fan interaction as well. Like, you can't have all of the selfies and everything else for the time being. I'm not saying get rid of it completely. I think you can slowly introduce it back, but for the time being, you can't do it. You just can't.
I think, though, that then becomes a bit of an issue, maybe, to police, because if you bring young kids, they're going to rush at a chance of a selfie. However, I think that responsibility would then become on the adults, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Ali, with everything that's gone on, let's talk about West Ham. For next season, who would you like right now mostly to retain in terms of players?
Okay, well, we've already got one of my favourites, which is Kate. Kate has already signed for 2 more years, which is was crucial. And you know what? We need to keep our captain. We've got to keep Gilly. Gilly is the glue that is bonding that team together. And I'd say that we've definitely got to keep Gilly and retain her for at least another couple of years. She's still got some life in them legs yet.
So I'd like, of course, I'm going to say Courtney. Definitely. West Ham's number one. Kate, I think, well, she's extended her contract for 2 years. Gilly, you have to extend Gilly because she is, I think, the most vital player in our team. And then one player that does worry me about leaving a lot, Ali, is Adriana Leon, because I think if we lose her, we sort of lose our creativity that showed before Canada's Olympic qualifiers. And when she came back the week before the She Believes, we did look like a different team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm hoping that she's still enjoying herself and that the bond she has with Matt will keep her for a little while longer. But it is a long way from home, so who knows?
It will be interesting to see, though, if Leon does depart, what sort of player do you think around the FAWSL could fill that mould for us, maybe in terms of signings?
That is a very good question. Not that we'd ever get her, but there's two, actually, and you're going to kill me for the team they play for, but there's two Spurs players that I think could fill that role. One being Ashley Neville. I think Ashley Neville is a cracking player. She is more of a defender.
I signed her on Football Manager the other day, actually.
But she's a brilliant player. She's an absolute been a beast for Tottenham. And then the other one also playing for Tottenham is ex-Bristol player Rosella, because she absolutely tore our defence apart both times we played Tottenham this season, especially in the game at the London Stadium. So if we did lose Leon, I think those are the two players that have got the creativity that we would need.
I think one player that we could get, though, and just if Liverpool do go down, if the season is to continue, Lawley from Liverpool. I think she's such a creative player and she'll fill in that number 10 role, I think, for us.
The only issue I have with Lawley is she's getting better with Liverpool. I will give her that. But I remember
her... Do you not rate her?
Not particularly. I remember her from her City days and she can run the ball as far as you want and as fast as you want, but she doesn't do anything with it. Like, she'll get to the end goal bit and then just not know what to do. There are other players I'd rather than Lawley.
Okay, let's get back onto this virus outbreak and how it's going to affect the FAWSL. So, Ali, I asked Dan this question on Thursday's podcast. What would you do right now if you was head of the FA? Would you keep on postponing the dates and continue at the end of the season, or would you simply cancel 2019-20 and start again in September with season 20-21?
Well, it's dependent on... Because the problem is contracts. That is going to be your biggest stumbling block, is most players' contracts run out in June because that's when they were signed, you know, June, July. If you can get around that and we can have a summer season, I'd play a summer season and finish out the rest of the season. If we can't do that, then I would just scrap it. As much as it kills me because I love my football, I would stop it now and then move on to start in September. Also, the other thing I would do, though, is I wouldn't relegate anybody from the Super League, but I would promote Sheffield and Aston Villa.
Well, that's something me and Dan sort of agreed on the podcast, because I think one thing, we're going to mention this later, but the TV revenue, I think it'll be more attractive as well in terms of boosting your revenue if you have more games to promote to maybe, well, whatever TV broadcaster wants to pump in that sort of money to get the full TV licensing. Because if you, say, have 12 games, it could be, just for example, £12,000 for the TV licenses plus whatever they want to pay the teams to be on the telly. But if you have 14 games, it could boost to maybe 14 or 18. That might not sound a lot. However, if that's your figure you're paying a team overall season, it could be massive for the smaller clubs in terms of getting enough funds to rival the big teams with in attracting players. Because right now, let's be honest, I think Arsenal, Man City and Chelsea, if they want a player, they rule the roost with it.
That's true. That's very true.
So, Ali, let's get on to a topic we can really dig our teeth into. TV licensing, it was announced last week that the FAWCL are, for the first time, going to try and sell rights to TV broadcasters. How do you think that's going to boost the women's games in terms of revenue for clubs and the league itself?
I don't know, is the honest answer.
Do you think we're going to be able to sell them?
That's the thing. Like, part of me thinks, yeah, I think BT will buy them because they've already, you know, shown a few games. But the problem I have is it's still the backlash and whether companies want to take that risk, because Sky announced that they were putting a lot more women's sport on YouTube. And I know Twitter is not all of the people, but the comment after they announced that on Twitter was, I want to cancel my Sky subscription. Why are you wasting time on this? I don't care about this. I'm not paying X amount of money for you to do this. But like, it, I mean, mostly men, not going to lie, but it was really, really negative. And if, you know, prospective companies see that, are they going to take the risk if they think it's going to lead to cancelled subscriptions? It's going to lead to negative, you know, viewer feedback, you know, so I don't know.
I think, though, with a subscription service, somebody that's involved in media, I think if a big company like Sky was to buy the rights, that kind of shows to the people in the comments, you're not going to stop us from boosting a sport that is well worthy of being as big as the Premier League. So I think the quality of the football is up there, in my personal opinion. And then I think that will reduce that sort of comments. However, if Sky and BT went, well, we're not going to buy your rights there because of what people say on Twitter, you've already let them won.
Yeah.
And it's about making these stereotypes and everything go away. And big companies have kind of a lot of say of what people perceive. And I think BT or Sky, or even Premier Sports or somebody like that, a bit smaller than BT and Sky, it would be massive for the women's game and massive for me stopping them stereotypes. I don't know if you agree.
I don't know, because it's part of me, like, you're right in the fact that it made a huge statement that Barclays decided to sponsor the FAWCL just like they do the Premier League. That was a huge statement. But people aren't paying for Barclays. I think when it comes to consumer things, it's a bit different. And in the end, it's going to be the buck stops with them. If they're not going to make any money from it, and if they're going to lose money, then people won't buy it. I think, to be honest, BT are going to get it. I think because they've already started. And I think they'll give it a year. And if after a year it's proving a bit of a money loser, then they won't renew.
You know, one thing that's just popped into my head, something that Sky do, is kind of like Sky Sports Football, Sky Sports Main Event. If they were going to buy the rights, why not make a Sky Sports Woman Football that not every subscriber has. It's kind of like a boost, say maybe £6 to boost your package, and then £10 for a new subscriber who just wants that channel. There is an option for that, and then Sky will be able to see the boost in revenue this will cause, or BT, and whether it's worthy. Because it's right, selling TV licenses, we as a game have to make it worthy to the consumers, and not only to the consumers who buy the rights, the TV audience, and the TV audience that's then going to buy that subscription. And one question that I have with these TV rights is 12 teams enough for BT and Sky to put big money into our game and boost it? I don't think 12 teams are enough. I think we need to increase that. I'd even go as far as 16, because
we need more teams. I've said that from the beginning. 12 teams is ridiculous. The gaps we have in scheduling when it comes to games is ridiculous. We need more teams in the league, period. Like, it's just, we just need more teams.
One thing I think as well, while we're selling the league rights, is I think we also then, if you're going to start to really boost revenue in women's football, why not, so you make it a bit more attractive to the consumer of women's football fans, because that's going to be your main audience.
Yeah.
Why not then go and buy the UEFA Women's Champions League rights? So then you've got the two, to me, the two biggest leagues or tournaments in the world in one place.
I would buy the rights to everything. I'd buy the rights to the Conti. I would buy the Champions League, to the FA Cup, to the actual league. I'd buy everything. And then you'd probably would appeal to the women's football fans that maybe can't, you know, West Ham draw Durham in the FA Cup. Not every fan's going to be able to get up there. And it would, you know, really appeal to the women's football fans. It would mean it would be something better than the FA Player, which at the moment is not best. It's not, it keeps, you know, stuttering and is laggy and haven't got the best commentators, you know.
I mean, one thing as well is, do you think it could have a detrimental effect in terms of putting bums on seats then, if most games are on TV?
I don't think so. I genuinely don't think so. I think it's going to be, maybe it'll affect away supporters. Maybe away supporters, like I said, say you're, you know, Liverpool down to Brighton, which is probably one of the furthest games, it's not easy. And if you can't get down, it actually, you know, can still support your team. I think those that want to go will go and will find a way to go. I know for a fact that it wouldn't put me off. I would rather go see it live than watch it on TV. But on the odd occasion that my missus has got me doing something else, it'd be nice to have the option.
Kate can hear me,
she just yelled through the wall, don't stop blaming me.
One thing that worries me, though, Ali, with these TV rights is if you're going to make it attractive to the consumer, I think most of it will be Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City and Man United. And that's when it then becomes a bit unattractive to fans like me and you who support West Ham, the sorts of Bristol City, Birmingham. We don't want to watch them, well, the big teams every week. We want to watch the games that are most attractive on the fixture list.
And I think that's what's going to be the problem, because that's already what's happening. The BBC, when it comes to showing live games, they pick the big four. They will pick, in fact, they haven't really picked Man United fans. So I'd say the big three. It's going to be your Arsenal, your Chelsea and your, I mean, I do think Man United are the big four, but BBC don't. So it's going to be your Arsenal, Chelsea, your Man City. The reason we're getting shown on TV, maybe when the season comes back, is because we're playing Arsenal. They ain't seeing us play Liverpool. They ain't seeing us play Brighton, are they? But then again, isn't it not like that in the men's league? You know, I know West Ham gets a couple of games, but isn't it normally when we're playing someone big?
One way, though, as well to create TV revenue, and I know it probably would never happen, is this FA Player. Why don't they maybe give a little fund to both teams to help with money for showing their games live if they was to pick maybe one big game on there at 12:30.
It'd be great, you know, if we can make it more even, because that is my biggest concern, is it going to be, it starts at the top and it just doesn't filter down? That's what I'm concerned about, is are teams like Bristol, Birmingham and Liverpool, who aren't doing so great, are they going to benefit from it? Because maybe they're the ones that need the money most.
You know, one way I think they'll get around that, Ali, with showing the big four. I think if they was to pick a game like that, where it would be, say, Bristol City versus Man City, they'll choose Bristol City as a home team.
That'd be good. That'd be really good, you know, to show that that's the advantage. But it's still, I think the licensing, if it's done well, could be great for the women's game. But I'm not seeing how well it can be done.
Be honest, do you think it will be done well for the women's game?
Nope.
Elaborate.
Big no, I generally don't, because look, the sentence that sticks in my mind is when they postponed the men's Euros for a year, the response, because people were like, what about the women's game? What about the women's ones? Was literally, yes, we've taken the decision that we're going to have to thing it for a year and we will do our best by the women's game. What does that say? That they can't guarantee that they're going to make sure it doesn't impact or anything like that. It's just a, we'll do our best. So no, I don't think the rights are going to be sold, right? Because I genuinely think that the authorities still don't care enough about the women's game. It's still not seen as a legitimate sport in a lot of people's eyes.
Well, I think that reflects when you've only got 10 teams in what is... Sorry, 12 teams. And one is, well, one of the biggest leagues in women's football.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the problem, you know. And also, you look at things like... take Liverpool, for example. I know I'm getting off topic here, but you take Liverpool. Liverpool's men's team are one of the biggest in the world right now. They are on course, if the season goes ahead, to win their first title in 30-odd years. Their women's team is floundering and they've got no financial support whatsoever. They play in the middle of nowhere in Tranmere's ground, which is not fantastic, let's be honest. They have no real financial support and are in the bottom to chances to go down in relegation. If that doesn't say anything about how the women's game is viewed, I don't know what does.
You know what you just said there about Liverpool, though? The reason Liverpool won't do it is because the FA are not putting any pressure on them.
Yeah, no, exactly.
With these TV licences, though, do you think it could benefit more just simply in terms of financial reasons? Because I think they're also going to sell it worldwide, which is would be massive for our game.
Yeah, no, I think it can be done well. And I think it going worldwide would be good because there are international fans that support English teams. You know, our American Hammers love the girls as much as they love the boys and try and watch it where they can. I know a lot of Dutch fans are huge Arsenal fans because of the Dutch contingent with Miedemeyer, Van de Donk and so forth. And so I think, to be honest, that's where the money's going to come from, is the international rights. I don't think it's going to do well here, if I'm honest, because I do think there's still that Neanderthal thought over the women's game. But I think you will be able to sell it, as you said, as a booster, as not something mainstream. You know, in the US, it could be on ESPN Plus, because that's who's currently showing their women's games, and so forth. It could be a booster, and I think that will sell well. Do I think it will do well here? No.
It's like what you said, though, Ali. It's about doing it in the right way. So it's small steps rather than one big step. If you was to put it on Sky, a channel maybe, if Sky Sports bought the rights or BT, maybe just put it on the YouTube channel for now. And then one game on YouTube and one game on TV. I think that would be the way to do it.
Do you know who I hope will get it? And I'm going to throw you a curveball here. It's Channel 4.
Right.
Because Channel 4 did really well the Euros. They got the rights to the Euros. And they had the best commentators, they had the best presenters, they had the best, like, they amped it up so much. It was practically...
Who's got the Euros, Ali?
What?
Do you know who's got the Euros in 2021?
Don't know. I don't know if they've announced that yet. I think it's still bidding. But compared to the BBC's coverage, which I'm not impressed with whatsoever, but
no,
by the by, I really hope, I think Channel 4 can give it the home. And also, I think you'll get less complaints because they're not a dedicated sports channel. I think you'll get less of the Neanderthals complaining.
Mm.
I genuinely do, because also you're not paying really for Channel 4.
I was about to say that.
It goes, you know, exactly. You're not paying for Channel 4. So I think that would be the perfect booster step, is to have it go to Channel 4 and see how they do it with it.
See, that, I think that would be the best possibility, BBC or Channel 4, or just 3TV, because then you're making it mainstream for the sport and you're also making it attractive to the consumer, and that's where you find that perfect balance.
Exactly.
See, or maybe you sometimes. Maybe you split the rights and then go, well, Channel 4 have a selection of three of the big games and then the whatever, and then you put it onto BT Sport. Because I think that's what they sort of do now, don't they? They put the big games on BT, and then again, if you do that, you're then making it unattractive to the consumer because you're missing out the big games.
Maybe then don't split it as big games, but do it that Channel 4 get the league and then you sell the rights to, like, the Conti or the FA Cup or the Champions League, for example, to BT. So you can put the Champions League on BT.
To be honest, I think the biggest competition right now that will boost a women's game is the Champions League.
Yeah. People want to see Lyon.
I was about to say that. Because if you want to get into the women's game and you see your first game is, I think, next season, the biggest game probably will be Lyon versus Chelsea. I think that would be great for new fans to watch and younger kids, because attracting younger kids for me is always the most important, because they're going to be there for the longest, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get on to our final debate with this coronavirus outbreak. Contracts. Ali, how do you think that's going to affect players?
It's going to be a huge thing, because they're contracting until the end of the season, but that's got a definitive date. And it's like, do you do it to the end of the season, whenever the season may end? Or is it going to be an extended transfer window? It's huge. The contract dilemma is huge. And if I was teams now, I would be taking this quiet period to start looking at the players you want to keep and start trying to get them under contract now.
You know, one way I think that the FA could sort of protect players if they're to continue this season after June, or when their contract runs out, is cancel the transfer window. Because then you're not going to be able to attract players, and then all the teams will do is renew their contracts. Because it's important when you're a league, if you're going to sell things like TV rights and gain that audience, to attract the best players, and once you attract them, to treat them right.
That is true. That is very true.
Okay, then. That is the end of the We Are the Girls in Claret and Blue FAWSL weekly podcast. Like I mentioned before, we were due to do this show until, I think it was the 30th of March. However, due to the extension, it's likely to be after May, the return of the FAWSL podcast. Me and Dan Pentland have done two great podcasts. One's an interview about his FAWSL magazine and how he got into that. The other is what should UEFA do with Euro 2021? Two interesting topics, as well as this one. What could be better to fill up your week? Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.